Good morning. If you can't hear me, put your hand up, will you? I have just moved house, and we've had workmen in the house for the last 5 days painting, and I've been breathing in all the paint fumes, and my throat is protesting. But Jesus is the healer, so I just, you know, it's such an honor to be here. I'm trusting him to be able to enable my voice to be released while I'm speaking. While we were worshipping, that was the most beautiful worship. Oh my goodness, wasn't it? Wow. You can really hear the depth of people's friendship with Jesus, can't you, in how they worship. It's beautiful, and how he responds. And I was just taken into an experience in heaven, and I found myself sitting with Jesus. So as I'm speaking, just let your spirit begin to engage, because Julian, my heart in everything we do is to facilitate an experience, another experience for you with Jesus. And so it's really not about us. We're sharing testimony of what Jesus has done in us by his incredible grace. But it is the spirit of prophecy, right? The testimony of Jesus. So it activates, you know, that which we hear from one other member of the family of God. We can have that same experience as an invitation from him into that experience. So I found myself sitting in heaven, leaning against Jesus, and I could feel the gentleness of his presence enfolding me, enfolding us. And I was leaning against him, and I was just looking across an expanse in heaven, and there were these huge, majestic mountains in the distance. And he just said, "I made them for you." And it just, his love just poured into me, just as this gentle, like a gentle oil, soothing me and filling me again. And then he reminded me and showed me again a field that he took me into in heaven a while back. It looked like a valley. On either side of the valley, there were huge mountains again. And he called it the Valley of Dreams. And I was walking with Jesus, and then suddenly he was walking in front of me, and I could see hundreds of people. And I saw Jesus walking along, holding a little girl's hand. The little girl was about 3 years old, and she had long black hair. And she was walking along, and she would just look up at him and continue walking. And I could hear the desire of her heart, the dream of her heart, and all the people that were walking through the valley. I could hear, I couldn't hear the detail of what they were saying, but I could hear that this was a place in heaven representing where the desires that we have, those secret desires in our heart, the longings, are heard by Jesus. And they're answered. So as this little girl was walking along, I heard the desire of her heart to have a dad, to have a daddy. And she looked at Jesus, and this yearning came out of her heart of, "I just want a daddy." And as she spoke that from her heart, I saw this light literally shoot from Jesus' heart and fill her. And she just filled with light. And I felt this overwhelming love of the Father. And she was completely fulfilled in that moment. And I felt that was part of his invitation to us today, that whatever that deep dream is, that deep desire is in your heart, as we go through the process of today, his intention is to meet it, you know, out of his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. All of our needs are met. The intention, right? Isn't it? The intention. That's the privilege of the gospel, of the new creation life, is that his design is that every single emotional need, every single need in our life would be met in Christ. And then out of that overflow of that ongoing experience, as his spirit continually, as Paul tells us, dispenses through us, releasing the very life of God inside of us now, every need is met. There's an overflow, and we can supernaturally love others where we are very limited on our own capacity. Of course, he's not. So, who holy? So whatever it is, just this is a safe place. Clearly, this is a safe place, and we're family. So just let that heart-to-heart communication with Jesus begin to flow between you. Even if you have, you know, some of us are weary. You know, we get heartsick with hope deferred, don't we? Things that we have longed to have answered don't seem to get answered. There are unanswered questions in our lives. You know, but there's a supernatural grace here because of Holy Spirit's presence to enable us again to be able to believe, to have that courage, that fresh faith ignited inside of us, to just one more time just hope for that breakthrough, that miracle, that fulfillment, your needs met because of Jesus. He's our everything, isn't he? He's our everything. You know, and Jesus woke me up last night and the night before, in the middle of the night, like, boom, I'll tell you in a second, with two words specifically for today. So I'm going to be obedient and not talk too much. I want to be very specific about just delivering the word that the Lord's given, and then give some time to respond. And we can just have some ministry time for those that really do want to have that, you know, stand with you and pray. Because the most important thing today is that you go into experience with Jesus. Not that we speak and preach, but that actually everything we say escorts you in. Wow. The Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you again into this place. Jesus, we freely acknowledge that apart from you, we cannot do anything. But in you, all things are possible. Holy, holy, holy. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, who have full freedom in this place to touch hearts, touch minds, touch bodies. As I've been feeling is your desire today, that every one of our needs would be met. Those dreams and desires that we have, even deep inside of us. Physical healings, emotional healings, psychological healings. Every need met. Wow. You know, some of you may have heard how I came into the kingdom, excuse me. Thank you for my voice touch, Holy Spirit. Excuse me, I'm gonna suck a vitamin C tablet while I'm talking to you. So, thank you. Oh gosh, I keep feeling waves of Holy Spirit. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the miracles, thank you for the miracles, thank you for the miracles. You know, I've just got back from speaking in Bethel, in Redding, in California. And Holy Spirit was just be really expectant, be really open. He was pouring out, same Holy Spirit, right? Sure. He was pouring out, touching minds, touching hearts, touching bodies. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for those miracles here today. Those fresh levels of revelation pouring into our heart, revelation, understanding, living word, experiences with you, kisses. Kisses of revelation into our hearts that transform us. Wow. Have your way, Holy Spirit. Have your way. We are yours. Holy, wow. more, Jesus, more. Wow, wow, wow. When I came into the kingdom, I didn't know anything. I won't go through all of the story, there's just one part that I'm feeling to share. When Jesus visited me physically and was standing in front of me, I didn't have any religious baggage. I didn't have anybody, I didn't know anything. I just knew that the Jesus Christ of the Bible was standing in front of me in person. Clothed in a garment of humility, clothed in a beige garment, seamless to bare feet, black hair to his shoulders, dark, dark brown eyes, and light just poured out of his eyes. And I was terrified. When I first stood in front, he first stood in front of me, I was terrified. And I couldn't look at him. I felt excruciating self-consciousness and shame. I was looking away. And within nanoseconds, this love that is who he is was pouring out of him, coming out of his eyes, radiating off his face, and it was light. And it was just pouring in wave after wave after wave. And the waves that were hitting my, at that time, very broken, very fractured heart that had gone through a lot of abuse and a lot of difficulties in life, as many of us do, wave after wave hit me. And I began to integrate and heal and become completely whole within split seconds of his presence, his light. That's the power of Jesus. That same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is now inside of us. Isn't that incredible? Incredible. So how do we live like this all the time? One of the things that happens to me when I'm traveling a lot is people say, how? How do we access this life? How do we walk by this spirit? How do we maintain this the new creation reality? How do we live like this? So, the last couple of nights, Jesus has woken me up twice at exactly the time of the scripture that he wanted me to read today. So the night before last, he woke me up at 4:24 a.m. Like, boom, I was wide awake. I don't wake up at 4 in the morning. I'm not that holy yet. 4:24, wide awake, boom. And I heard in my spirit Ephesians 4:24. I'm like, okay. I knew it was for today. Went back to sleep. Got up in the morning really excited to read it, you know, and to start to listen to Holy Spirit. I'll read it in a second for us. And then last night, same thing again, only this time it was 4:22. Boom, wide awake, 4:22. Ephesians, straight in my spirit, read Ephesians 4:22. And what I felt immediately as I started to read it was that Jesus was, this was his invitation. I was writing the scriptures down all over and little squiggle notes all over the place from it. As Holy Spirit was just pouring out. Wow, 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 wow. So as I read, open your spirit and let the word just come in as fresh nourishment. This is the reality of who we are now. It's good to remind ourselves again, isn't it? And Paul is teaching us over and over through his letters the how-to. What has happened to us as a new creation, a completely, entirely new species in God. Now, made of the very substance of his being. You know, we tend to define ourselves by our temporal pain and difficulties and emotional challenges and where we're currently at in our life journey. Paul doesn't define us like that. Jesus doesn't define us like that. That's not how they see us. So as I read, Just let your spirit be strengthened and just receive this as fresh nourishment. And just listen to Holy Spirit for yourselves. I'm going to start Ephesians 4:22 because that was last night, and read into 23, 24 and finish at the end of 24. This is his invitation for us to come out from back and forth living, where we switch into the old nature. We're not conscious that we're doing that. We just slip back into striving and self-effort and all manner of the old nature. And actually what Jesus is doing now is he's inviting us. You know, one of the, like when people are asking me when I'm traveling in the nations, how do you walk like this? How do we live an overcoming life? How do we stay walking by the Spirit, in the Spirit? So these are some of the how-tos. This is what's happened to us and the how we stay there. And the benefits, actually, the benefits of living as a new creation, the privilege and the benefits of this extraordinary life that we now is now ours in Christ. So just listen and drink. And he, meaning Jesus, Paul's referring to, and Jesus has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. When I was reading that, I felt the Lord's compassion. It's not like a rebuke. It's just a, it's not a stern thing. Oh, you wretched sinners. He doesn't talk like that. That's religion. It was tremendous compassion. He doesn't want us to live a way that hurts us. He's set us free, right? Because of his blood. So I'll just read it again. And Jesus has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self-life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that's been given to you. Holy. And to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within as your new life, and you live in union with him. Wow. I'm just going to read that again slowly. There's a huge key there for us. So in order for us to be transformed, the way we are transformed is as we embrace. We embrace, we turn into, we turn the affection and attention of our heart, our devotion to Jesus, who's now within us. He's not out there somewhere lofty, unattainable, right? Christ is in us, as Paul says over and over and over. It's about 20 odd times in the New Testament. It's in Christ, that we become overcomers, living in him. And this is the how. To be transformed. What is transformation in Christ? It's being filled with his nature, right? Being fully clothed again, like it says in Colossians 3, Paul tells us to put on, to be clothed. Let the nature, the virtue of God's nature envelop you on the inside, expand within you. How does that happen? As we simply embrace. So be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within. Holy, wow. As your new life, and live in union with him. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness. Right? So the perfect righteousness of God is the very nature of God, right? So the very nature of the uncreated, eternal, all-powerful, magnificent, radiant God is within us. And he wants every facet of our mind, everything within us to experience this reality, to accept it, to lean into him, to drink from him as the source of our supply, to know him as our strength, know him as our love, as our peace, as our joy, like a fountain of, you know, he says, a fountain of living water of life bursting forth from within us, abundant life. Abundant life is God, right? Zoe life is God's kind of life. The very life that God lives is the invitation we have now, the capacity we now have now. We're not supposed to be living in our own fear-driven self-preservation. We're not supposed to be living exhausted, crawling along in our own strength. He wants us to live in that internally abandoned place where our hearts have let go and we've flopped back into the arms of grace, into the arms of his indwelling presence, and his strength dispensing through us now becomes the very source of our life, the energy of our life. Show that, you know, and then as we move through life, everything we touch, we're carriers of God, right? He touches and redeems and transforms. And sometimes it's a process. Sometimes it's instant. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's the king. When you show up somewhere, literally everything changes because God's inside of you. And the more conscious we are, the more God conscious we are, I have found the more effective. The more effective our lives are because we release him, we're aware of him, and we radiate him. And all we have to do is enjoy him, embrace him, romance him, be devoted to him, just enjoy him. That's the doorway. That's the key. Sha. There's another key in a second, which I'm going to read from Paul, which just when the Holy Spirit started to teach me these things, it blew my mind. Because a while ago, are you guys okay with angels and the cloud of witnesses? And okay, good. I was having to explain to some people, which, you know, it's important that we all have conversations. Family keeps talking, right, in the midst of our theological differences. We're not supposed to divide. We're supposed to keep talking. The cloud of witnesses are very much alive. As we know, it's the church in heaven and on earth. They're not dead people. They're living. And we're now all one in Christ. And so I never encourage people to pursue individuals from the cloud of witnesses, but I am hugely grateful when Jesus brings someone to me, but I'm always focused on Jesus. And then whatever he chooses to show me from the kingdom realm, it releases more of who he is into me. So he did that with the life of Paul. He brought Paul to me, the apostle Paul, a couple of times. And what he was doing was he was imparting some of the revelation that Paul carried to be continued on and re-released again in our generation. And so I was one of the, there would be many, but I was one of the recipients of receiving an impartation from Paul's life. And after that happened, I always say, you know, that it's very holy. Like when the Lord brings angels or when he comes, of course, first and foremost, or people from the cloud come, it's holy ground and you're changed. You know, you're really changed. And they are always releasing more understanding of Jesus to us. They're championing us on, right? And passing batons, strengthening us for our time here on earth. So after Paul came, I found that I'd suddenly turned into a crazy evangelist, but I was called to the body of Christ, and I could not get out of Paul's letters. Literally, it was like I was reading the Bible for the first time. Everything was so fresh and new, and there were scriptures jumping off the page at me, it's like I'd never seen them. Just another level of truth was unlocking, and so I ended up traveling around. And I think I've laughed with Julie about this. I found myself evangelizing the church, which is quite a funny statement. But a lot of people have been very locked down by religion. rules and regulations and are devoid of the spirit, of the life of the spirit, and have got extremely complicated in their pursuit of God. I mean, it's a legitimate, honorable pursuit. We're all desperate for God, aren't we? So people go where they try and find him. But in that process, the body's got quite messy. And I am privileged to sort of travel and see a broad spectrum of the body of Christ. And I love every denomination and every expression. And none of us have got it 100%. And I think we have to be very gracious, particularly at this time, for messy doctrine. I mean, obviously not endorse heresy where it's clearly heresy, but there's the Lord is bringing, he's breathing new truths into his, an expanded understanding in this hour is what I'm seeing. And so I've just learned to be very humble and go slowly and just love each other above all else and keep talking. But I found that people in their desperation for God, a lot of people have got lost and confused. And the Lord is simplifying. So what happened? He's bringing people back. There's a sound coming from his heart at the moment, which is, let me be the one who fulfills you. Come back to me. Come back into that single gaze. Come back into a life of single devotion, heart to heart. You know, it was Jesus that died on the cross and paid the price for us, wasn't it? It wasn't Paul. It wasn't any of the others. It was Jesus. I mean, yes, many of them ended up being martyred, but it was Jesus that paid the price. And so it's Jesus that our hearts should be fully devoted towards, because we are the reward of his suffering. You know, our voluntary love, our little tiny attempts to love him is the sweetness of his, of the reward of his suffering. It's what he died for, a people that would truly, freely love him in response to experiencing his love, and then be fully brought forth as the exact likeness of who he is, to be his counterpart forever. That's who we are. It's mind-blowing, isn't it? The gospel, when you truly look at it, when you strip back everything to the pure message of Christ's gospel, and the enemy would have us believe that we are these whatever, you know, he wants us walking around oppressed and depressed and in despair and in low self-esteem, and the challenges in life are very real. But there's another measure of grace being released at the moment, and fresh invitation that's coming from his heart to say, let me fully meet your needs. Let me be your strength. Let me teach you how to live this new creation life in me, a life of devotion and fulfillment. You know, in the purest, holiest meaning of the expression, a love affair with God, a love relationship with God, where we're so besotted with him, we're so in love with him in response to the purity and holiness and sweetness of his love. You know, we know one moment experiencing his love heals us, transforms us, changes everything, changes our perspective. So that's his invitation. So I'm going to just read you, the Holy Spirit really quickened to me again, a couple more scriptures that describe to us the benefits of this privileged new creation life. If we will just say yes again, come back, you know, wherever we're at, whether we're dry, whether we're really in a good season in God, there's always more. There's always more. We've all got needs, haven't we? And so wherever you're at, this is the invitation to come deeper, to experience that love. Holy, whoa. To experience his, the light of his presence engulfing you again. To that thirst, spiritual thirst to be quenched, that emotional need to be satisfied in him. That exhaustion that you're feeling, his resurrection life dispensing through you as your supernatural strength and energy again. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Same resurrection spirit that raised Christ from the dead is pulsating through you, moving through you, expanding, releasing more and more of God all the time. Galatians 5, you know, the nature of God, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's our nature now. And the way that we live out of that nature, we embrace Christ within. Let me just read these other scriptures. Just let these bathe you. They're amazing. Don't you get blown away by when the Holy Spirit breathes on scriptures? I'm in the scriptures for weeks, sometimes months. I can't get out of, just try Paul's letters at the moment. Oh my goodness. So these are just a couple of verses that you could do your own study into the Word of God. Just sit with Holy Spirit and ask Him to show you our life now in Christ Jesus, the benefits of that, the privilege of it. So listen to this. So as we embrace Him, the indwelling Christ, we become mindful of that reality. Holy. Your spiritual, so these are from Song of Solomon and from Colossians, I think. Your spiritual roots go deep into his life as you are continually infused with strength and so encouraged in every way. You are established in the faith that you have absorbed and are enriched by your devotion to him. You're embracing him. So you see, there's the simplicity. He's bringing things back to that single gaze. The power of gazing at God with your heart, the power of a singly devoted life, is that you will become fully established in your faith, that your spiritual roots will go deep into God's life, and therefore you will be continually infused with strength, continually infused with strength and encouragement in every way. We just have to back up, let go of the rules, and come back to enjoying Him, really enjoying Him. Song of Solomon 7:7. Oh, this is an amazing scripture. You should read the whole of Song of Solomon 7. It's mind-blowing. So 7:7 says, "You stand in victory above the rest, stately and secure, completely secure, as you share with me your vineyard of love." If you look at the original language, that means you share with me your heart. You embrace me. You become devoted to me. As you give him your heart, the result of that is total victory. Total victory and complete security. Now listen to this. This is another massive key. Again, it's super simple, but the consequences are incredible. So again, this is Paul's letters. This is a massive key. This is the how, the how we excuse me. This is the how we begin to engage. So if we're feeling completely numb and detached and a million miles away from God's presence, and we don't know how to scramble our way there, and we don't know how to even begin to be devoted, how do we embrace him again? How does that become real? This is the how. And it's very specific. When you read it in the Hebrew, I'm a big Hebrew girl. I go to the Aramaic, Western Aramaic, which was the language Jesus spoke, and I use Hebrew. Because the language is rich, as we know. And it's a very different Bible when you look at it in the original text, in the original language. So listen to this. Always give thanks for your life union with Christ. Okay, many of the translations there say, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God for your life. So you give thanks for the bunny rabbits, and you give thanks for the sunshine, and you give thanks, which is great. And it's right, because it's very positive, and we should be appreciative, and that's part of our worship. We're appreciating the beauty of creation and everything the Lord has done for us, and that will shift our psychological state and emotional state and that is a very healthy thing to do. But this is a whole different meaning. So this is the key to walking as a new creation successfully in a love relationship, in the oneness, the experience of the mystical union of the oneness. We give thanks specifically for our life union with Christ. So we start to thank him. We become centered, to use that language, and present. So psychologists would say, or neuroscientists would say, what we're doing is grounding ourselves into the moment. So we come back into the present. We let go of the past. We let go of our future imaginings and projections and concerns. And we come right back into now. So I'm currently studying with a neuroscientist who has worked for 30 years on MRI scanning people who are having spiritual experiences. So I've had some very interesting conversations with him. He's Jewish. He's not yet a believer, but he believes in God. He just doesn't know who God is yet. He's an eminent neuroscientist, a fantastic man. So I'm quite an interesting specimen for him, I think. But we have some very good conversations. I'm very respectful, you know, of him, and he's respectful of my spiritual experiences. He just doesn't understand them. But what he has said to me is categorically, neuroscientists internationally now know that the highest functioning state we can live in neurologically and biochemically is when we believe in God. How amazing is that? And they teach mindfulness because it's centering people into the present moment. It grounds people out of trauma. So if people are in any kind of state of fear or anxiety or, you know, more extreme states of psychological and emotional states, they focus you on bringing you into the present moment. So they'll have you think about peace or whatever it is that's in the program. So I'm studying with him because I want to understand the material that we're creating. I want to understand what's happening to us holistically, psychologically, emotionally, biochemically. I want to know what is going on. What does science understand of the wisdom of the scriptures so that I can relate to a fast-growing population of very informed people with regards to neuroscience and the whole wellness world, etc. But I've been gripped by the Lord's heart to speak into that section of society as well. But it's fascinating when you look at it. So yeah, so the neuroscientists, believers and non-believers, all know from science that when you believe in God, you function at your highest state and you release biochemical cascades of dopamine and serotonin, and it brings in different executive networks and circuitry. It brings online different parts of the brain that release biochemistry that heals you, that heals trauma. And they know that new experience, so for us, when we're experiencing God, when we're embracing him, when we're thanking him, when we're thanking him and accessing his presence and entering into his presence, that is bringing online parts of our brain that he has created us, you know, he's created us this way, that actually starts to release chemical cascades that heals you. And the experience of him overrides the previous trauma, and it actually changes your brain and it heals you. So the wisest thing you can ever do is live in the presence of God. It was how we were created to live, and now scientists know it. They just, at the moment, won't say who they believe God is, because they don't believe that science has categorically proven that part yet. I'm like, well, it's okay. But it's fascinating. So I've been reading the scriptures with more and more knowledge of neuroscience, blown away by God's design of who we are. And if we just live the way that he's telling us to live, which is in the simplicity of relationship with Jesus, we will continually heal. We can be healed from trauma, like I was. I was fractured, dissociated, clinically depressed, traumatized, sick, you know, you name it, you know, done the whole thing pretty much. You know, and in one moment, in the presence of Jesus, with his light pouring through me, my whole body was integrated. My mind was healed. My emotions were healed. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. So as these chemical cascades run through our system, you know, they're moving through from the brain, through the central nervous system, to down our spinal column and out to every organ and system within our body. So we've literally got dopamine and serotonin and all these other goodies, oxytocin and all of these, this biochemistry that God created is flowing through us through experiencing his love. Literally, it's that simple. And how do you do it? You give thanks for the mystical union we now have, the reality that Christ's in us. That's it. You sit there and you keep thanking for that. Just stay on that. What happens is you will ground yourself into now and it will open up that experience to you. And just stay there until you enter in. You know, put some worship on. Do something that's really, you know, helps you get into the presence of God. Just put some beautiful worship on and just begin to thank him for his indwelling presence, for the mystical union. And that's the doorway in. That's the doorway in. And so your heart will begin to turn, your affection and your attention, because you're bringing yourself into single focus. You're shutting off the noise. And so that will take you right. It'll usher you into his presence. And you begin to realize you're devoted. You're because that's embracing him. You're embracing him, you're turning your attention and you're hugging the indwelling Christ through the attitude of your heart. As you embrace him, you start to move into the riches of the experience I've just read. You begin to be victorious. You know, this is the key. It's not 20 steps to overcoming 50,000 demons and repenting for 500 million sins that you've done. It's not. I mean, yes, if Holy Spirit highlights those things, of course, that's very important. He's showing you what needs to be cleansed. But actually, the fastest way I found after 25 years of walking this way and trying everything is simple devotion, enjoying Jesus, thanking him for his indwelling presence, doing the word. Like Paul says, don't be hearers of the word, be doers of the word. Do the word. It's the doorway, right? It's the doorway. And we were talking at dinner last night, you know, and I just felt as well there, Holy Spirit wanting me to share that again. You know, even our weaknesses, like Paul says, you know, when he was squabbling with the Lord about the thorn in his side, and he goes through the process of receiving and entering into the experience that Jesus's grace is sufficient. So he learned the secret of living content in all things, irrespective of what was going on in his life. And when you look at the original language there, what Paul actually says is that he's rejoicing because he's realized that his weakness is, the language says, is the portal or the doorway through which God's power crashes into his life. So even our weaknesses, we don't need to be afraid of any of it. The blood's taken care of all of it. The kingdom has come. And so what was a weakness that would have destroyed us is now the doorway through which you are about to experience another impartation of the power of God. So there's nothing, nothing outside of God's redemptive power. And he's true, right? He watches over his word to perform it. It will not return to him void, having not accomplished that for which it was sent forth to do. The intention of his heart is, you know, his word is alive and active, isn't it? It's living. It's carrying the intention of his heart. And if we will just take him literally and begin to do what he's inviting us to do, we will begin to experience what he's promised us. He yearns for us to live like this because he wants to be glorified. He wants our lives to be living, contagious epistles of hope to a desperate world that's getting more desperate, more confused, more overwhelmed, more afraid. And the light in us is rising. It's rising. We literally are in our, I've seen it. I've seen visions in the spirit of us coming forth, shining, literally shining, filled with glory. How? By thanking him for the reality of the indwelling Christ, by embracing the oneness, the reality of what's happened to us now because of Jesus' work on the cross, by remaining devoted to him. And that's it. That's it. We remain devoted and we receive and we release God. And that's it. It's not all these 100 million rules and regulate, da da da. Just park them in a box and come back to the feet of Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. And as we do this and we sit with him, his life envelops us on the inside. He expands within us. And we find that the beauty of his nature begins to shine out of us. And that impossibly complex relationship, you can't see the failings anymore. You don't feel offended anymore. The love pouring out of you is supernatural. And it begins to collapse the chaos. The peace that comes off you begins to collapse the chaos in the heart of the one that's being difficult. We rule with his nature, not with clever strategies. We rule with his nature. He might give us a clever strategy, but if it's not backed by your oneness, your relationship with him that's living and active, there's no power. Because he's power. He's government. The one who is government, the creator, the uncreated eternal God resides within us. So I just encourage you, like in your own time, just study who's inside of you. Study who we've become now. Sit with him. This will change your life. This is what Jesus has shown me. It's how I live. Not perfectly. You know, life happens, but I default back and default back into this. Into this. And just to, he desires to meet every need, like he said at the very beginning today. Those dreams in your heart. And for most people that I listen to when I'm traveling, most people's dream is they want to meet Jesus. They want experiences. That's it. I mean, really. I mean, yes, the people have very difficult marriages. They have sicknesses in their bodies, all manner of hardships, financial difficulties, drug addictions. I mean, traveling in America recently, you know, the amount of people that have been through horrendous abuse and rape and, you know, all sorts of stuff coming to the meetings to be healed. And Jesus is healing people of trauma. But above and beyond, I want to be free. I want to meet Jesus. I want to have experiences with Jesus. This is how. He will come. Because he's already within you. So I'm going to finish there. Gosh, it's 12 o'clock. Wow. So shall we just finish by just repositioning our hearts before him, stepping into this experience? Would it be possible just to have some worship, just some beautiful instrumental worship, just holy. Let's just go in, let's begin. As we start to worship, let's just take about sort of 10, 15 minutes and respond. This is between you and Jesus. It's a life-changing moment. Some of these principles you'll know, but he's breathing afresh on it. Holy. Paul said to me, infuse knowledge into my spirit. That we are going to understand Jesus like the early church did. We're going to live like they did. Appropriate to our day, but we're going to live like they did. Because they understood this life. Holy. So we do, Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you for the overwhelming privilege that you have chosen each one of us as your home, as your resting place in the earth. Thank you for the oneness that we now have with you. We embrace you. We embrace you. We embrace you. Above all else, we put down all other loves. Anything that has taken priority in our hearts over you, we let it go. We come back to a life of single devotion to you, first and foremost. We give you our heart again. Come and have your way. State that's temporarily within you that is not part of the nature of God, so therefore no longer belongs in you and shouldn't be the driving force internally within you. So as you look at him, as you gaze, as you embrace him, every need is met as the beauty of who he is envelops you. Just begin to give him everything, everything, the dreams, the desires, the pain, just give it to him. Just begin to receive everything that he is becoming, everything that you are now.